and not be in a rush. So with that being said, let's take our Bibles and turn to two passages of Scripture in the book of Proverbs. Everyone should have something to write with, I hope, and everyone should have everyone returned the pens from last week. But I was on the shelf in the office today, and both of the boxes were empty. And so I don't know, maybe y'all can swap out real quick and share pens and this and that, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but hopefully everyone has a pen. But let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, and then Proverbs 20 and verses 11 through 13. But look at Proverbs 22 and verse 6 first. The Bible says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've read several commentaries and studied this passage of Scripture, and there's a couple of different ways that people approach it, and I want to try to approach this what I believe would be the best way and what I believe God would have for us in the text. But let's look at chapter number 20 as well, Proverbs chapter number 20, and verses 11 through 13. The Bible says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I ask that you would bless this time, and you would help us, God, to have our hearts and minds prepared to receive from your word as we, Lord, endeavor to see what the Bible has to say about biblically raising our children and training them. And we'll thank you for all that you've done, infamy of self and sin. We certainly thank you for the grace that is greater than all our sin. And Lord, we need your grace even now. And we cannot do anything without you. We need your power. We certainly need your grace. And bless this time and be glorified in it. Bless those perhaps who are yet on their way. And help us to all be engaged into what's going on here this evening. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone have the worksheet that we're looking at tonight. Does everyone have a copy of that? If you are a parent, you're married, you're a parent-to-be, you're a parent, then you certainly need one. So kind of giving preference to that group first. And if there's anything left over and someone didn't get one, they said, "I'd like to have one," please, by all means, take one. But let's get down to the heart of the matter. I won't take time. Who didn't get a pen? Oh, here are the pens. I've got pens. Who didn't get one? Everybody's good? Okay, good. Wonderful. All right. I won't take time to review last week. I think the messages are going online, and so y'all are free to go and review those messages and things like that. But let's get down to some things. So you're going to just have a few fill-ins tonight, and but I don't necessarily see us getting through this. But have you ever wondered if you might be going about the business of parenting all wrong? And I believe everybody, probably to a degree, has that question. I'll say people who care. I'll say people who care. You can care and initially not have a clue, but know that something is missing. Some people don't care that something is missing. Everybody understand? So this question is in the spirit of, you know, man, is something missing here? Am I going about doing something the wrong way? And, you know, as much training as we've had in trying to raise our children, different things like that, sometimes I'm still shaky on some things. You know what I'm saying? But through this study, we hope to maybe look at what the Scriptures say about our parenting so that we can parent the right way. And so, but we must be committed, let me say this, to knowing and following the truth that's found in God's Word. So it's all right to be ignorant and not know some things. It's just not all right to remain that way. Amen. It's not all right to remain that way. And so discovering the way, bringing up children is one of the most difficult and rewarding tasks. It's difficult and rewarding at the same time. It's difficult and rewarding. Remember, God wants us to raise up a godly seed. Amen. And so there are some challenges with that. Okay. And it's rewarding at the same time. When God has, you know, it's amazing that every time a child comes into the world, God has entrusted some family with another life. Now, I'm not saying we always live up to what God trusts us with, but it's just amazing to me that God would trust us with anything. Every time we've got five children, I wonder, God, you gave us another child, and I wonder, how well was I doing with the children before you gave me this last one? And I really mean that, and it's like, it can be overwhelming in that sense, like, you're not really doing all that hot with the ones you've got, and then God gave you another one. But I will say this, in the sovereignty of God, He knows things that you don't know. And this is why we need His grace, amen. But we certainly want to discover the way. And all parents, let me say this, feel pressure to answer questions like this, like these. I mean, there are certain things that are associated with raising children. And all children, you can't raise them all the same because they're not cookie cutter. Everybody get it? Now, y'all sleep or what? All of our children are not the same. That's what I'm saying. You know, and what works for one child may not work for another child, but there are some things that have to be common to all parenting. Everybody understand that? Okay, so now, all parents feel pressured to answer questions like these for relief. And sometimes what we do is we fall back on maybe how we were parented or what our parents taught us or what others have taught us. And how do we know if those things are right or wrong? You know? We learn a lot of things. We learn these old wise tales, and we learn from, you know, an old wise person told me this or whatever the case may be. You know, just because a person is old, that doesn't necessarily make them wise. Right. Now, God has an expectation that people who are older would be wise, but that's not always the case. Right. All right? And, you know, we have a lot of old fools because we never taught young people to be wise. And that's what we have. We have a lot of old fools because young people were not taught to be wise because they were once young. Amen. And so we have to see how can we parent? How can we know that we're going in the right way? And that's what we want to do. We want to, this evening, discover your child and yourself. If you don't know your child and you don't know yourself, you're going to have a hard time parenting. Did you hear it said? If you don't know your child, I know my child. Well, you remember David and Goliath. You remember Jesse. You remember when he sent Samuel, Samuel down to anoint him. And he says, Samuel, don't look on any of these because I've refused them. And Jesse, David's dad, left him out to deal with the sheep. And what was Jesse saying? He ain't king material. You see that right there? He didn't know. Based off, he observed from the outside. From the outside, that was the best that he could do. But God said he's got the heart of a king. Amen. And God knew that. And ultimately, there are some things we can observe about our children. And God ultimately knows what's in the heart of that person. But the fact of the matter is this. We can observe things about our children to be able to help them. We can be able to observe actions and maybe not know their heart completely in that sense, but we can observe some things about our children. But here's some questions, some other questions to consider. But let me make this statement first. It's right here, number four, under your discovering the way here. Before we apply any strategy to one of our own children, we need to reflect carefully on both the strategy and the child in order to see how to best draw upon the lessons of our parents and choices and make the proper choices for our own children. In other words, you know, like coming to New Orleans, I'll just say it like this. There are folks planting churches all over the United States of America and all over the world. And there are people doing a lot of things that are good and that are right. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work here in New Orleans with the people and with the culture here. Now, the goal is the same. We want to see people saved. We want to see people baptized. We want to see people trained. But how to go about that in a different culture, there are just some things that are going to be different. Everybody understand that? And when it comes to raising children, hey, I've got this plan, this perfect plan to raise children. But, you know, Johnny is different than Susie in some areas. And it's not necessarily sinful areas. Everybody understand what's going on here? It's just that this child is different because God didn't make any of them the same. And how do we navigate through that? Well, this is called parenting. You know, parenting has the idea of being engaged in what's going on with the child. It's not, well, I'm dad or I'm mom and there's this child and, well, they're just kind of growing up. That's not parenting. Everybody get it? That's not parenting. Just, go set them in front of the TV or set them on the latest and greatest thing or just let them go and do whatever the case. That's not parenting, all right? That's not parenting. So, and that would be a very poor strategy, all right? Now, questions to consider. Consider your best qualities and your strongest attributes and answer the following questions. Think about your parents. What was your parents' greatest positive contribution to you becoming who you are? So when you think about who you are today, what positive influence or what positive contribution, and every last one of you have parents, unless you're weird, all right, you know what I'm saying? What was their positive qualities that they passed on to your life, okay? You have to think about that. To you becoming who you are. Because see, no person got to where they are by themselves. All right? You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mom and dad. Everybody understand what's going on? Now, in your childhood, which quality or pattern of child rearing by your parents was the most harmful to your view of yourself and to your ability to become a successful adult? In other words, everything that parents did was not necessarily the best for the child. And basically, when it comes to parenting, I made mention of this already. Sometimes it could just be a cycle of what was passed down from one generation to another. Nobody ever tested to see whether it was necessarily right. Everybody get it? It's just, this is kind of how it was for us. And, well, this is kind of how it was for us. And it was the same as how it was for them. And nobody ever stopped to check, well, is this actually right? All right. And sometimes that has happened and that can be damaging. But at the same time, no doubt, I believe there's some things that are good that have been passed down that, you know what, we don't need to abandon this. We need to stick with it. And this has made a positive contribution to the life of that person. And no doubt your parents have done things in your life that have made positive contributions to where you are right now. Some things positive and maybe some things not so good. All right. And so we want to, as I mentioned, it would be a shame for our children not to be better parents than we are. Right? What do you mean? Listen, because, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And you are here because someone has invested in you. Right. And maybe all of the investments was not that good, but this all the more reason we can look to Christ and see, well, what can I pass on? Amen. And so maybe your home wasn't a Christian home. Probably most people in here home wasn't a Christian home. Mine wasn't. But so do my kids not have a Christian home? Or do they at least not get to exposure to how to have that? Everybody understand it? And do they get an opportunity to be better parents? They get an opportunity to be saved longer? Amen. This is what we're talking about right here. All right. So now, let's go ahead and get into our lesson here this evening. Train up. We looked at the passage of Scripture in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, train up, as you see here in your outline here. It's the word train up or the phrase train up has to do with training up a youth or dedicating a building. It carries with it those ideas. In the Arabic, a midwife would dip her finger into a pool of crushed dates. Y'all know what dates are? That's what they make the figs with. I was over in Baghdad, Iraq, and they had those things growing on some of the trees over there, and you could just kind of grab one. I didn't want to eat those, but I saw some of them. I think they were dates anyway, but anyway. But I didn't want any. But anyway, I guess when they're good and ripe, they're sweet and they're good tasting and things like that. But anyway, this midwife would take these dates and take her finger and rub her finger in there and then take the dates and then massage it on the palate and gums of the newborn. And this would basically encourage that baby to suck. All right. And so by doing that, they would be training that child to respond to suck. All right. And to encourage that baby's sucking instinct so that baby could begin nursing as soon as possible. OK, this word train up or this phrase train up also carries the idea of making one experienced or submissive. You think about a horse with a bridle. All right. This bridle subdues the horse for the purpose of directing the natural energies of the horse. And our children they need to be bridled. They need to have some, they need to be trained. They've got energies. They've got gifts. They've got a lot of things that God has given them. But if they are not trained, they can run wild. As you see, a bucking horse is not useful to anybody. Anybody get it? Some bull, my wife showed me a video of a mad goat or something while ago. The goat just, I don't know, somebody's goat had a bell on. He just decided he wanted to start running into people. And they tried to kick him and everything. And when they tried to kick him, he just back up and charge him. It was crazy. I said, man, that's pretty crazy. That'd be some tough goat meat. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, these animals, you know, of course they have great power, but they're not really used if they hadn't been trained. If they hadn't been trained up in a certain way, okay? But what does it mean to train? A, you've got a blank here. Basically, initiating a thirst. Initiating a thirst, all right? In other words, parents, hey, dads and moms, grandparents, you and I have the responsibility to bring out desires that are in those children. We have a responsibility to bring them out in the right way, to initiate some things in them, to get some things started in them. Amen? This is what this is about. To initiate a thirst, creating and cultivating a desire for something. All right? So what should we initiate in them? What should we create and cultivate in them? Obviously, it should be a desire for what is right. Amen. Right? We understand they've got some wicked ways about them that they get from their mom because their dads are, I'm just kidding. Nothing wrong with my wife. She's wonderful. I'm just simply saying, just my kids get all the good stuff from me. But, yeah, they're wonderful kids too. Now, my wife, when they're bad, they're my kids. When they're good, they're her kids. That's how she does it. I hadn't figured that one out yet, but, I thought I had something good about me, but hey, in her book that she's writing, I don't. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but the fact of the matter is, we are supposed to initiate some things in our children. We are supposed to create and cultivate a desire. You know, the thing about cultivating, it's like an agricultural type term. And we think about cultivating and we think about planting. There's two things that if somebody's going to have a garden, there's two rules that if that garden is going to be successful, there's two rules that they have to go by. They have to love what they do, but they have to hate weeds. You get it? A gardener has to love gardening, but also hate weeds. Because if the weeds get in there, it's just going to be tough cultivating the good that's in there. You see that? And parents are like gardeners. And children are like plants. And we want them to sprout up the right way. But they've got some weeds in the life, right? Yeah. And we got to love bringing them up the right way, but we got to hate the things that would destroy them. Yeah. We got to train them up the right way. Everybody understand that? And so we're like gardeners. We're like, and I don't like gardening. My wife wants me to do some grass. I said, that grass looks good out there. Look at how tall that blade is as compared to that blade over there. Get some spray paint and make it all right. You know what I'm talking about? But we have to love bringing them up right, and we have to hate the things that would hurt them. We have to hate the weeds. Amen. The weeds just choke the life out of anything. That's what they do. You have a nice grass and you don't let that grass, you don't cut that grass and don't take care of that grass. Then some kind of funny grass. And they got all different kind of names for grass. Monkey grass and funny grass and crab grass. And it doesn't look good in that whole nice field of grass. But what happened is, I guess I don't know what got over there, but it doesn't look good. And you know, the weeds don't look good with the plants. The weeds don't look good and the sin don't look good in the life of your child. You see what I'm saying? And so it has to be dug out of there. And so we have to go at parenting with those things in mind. And so we want to initiate some things in our children. And here's what we don't need to do. We don't need to stick our finger in their face and say, you are going to do this or that. That's not training. You know what? Because we want to initiate the right things in there. We want them to have a desire for the right things. We want them to have that. All right. Now, C, remember, or B, this allows us to initiate a sense of oneness so that we may discover how God made our little children. Listen, God made your child unique and special and different than He made any of your other children. Period. All right? Each of you you're different. We understand that. We're different. But if you never spend time with that child, it doesn't matter how unique and different they are, you won't ever understand that child, and that child is, and the children, Dad doesn't understand me. Mom doesn't understand. I don't know. Okay, every time I come and ask, they tell me to go do this or that or the other. You're not going to know that child, you don't spend time with them. And it's a shame that anybody knows our children better than us. It's a shame that people can know our children better than us, even from a standoffish relationship. That's a shame. That's not good. That's not good that, wait a minute, you know that child and you don't even live in that house? I said, that's a shame. That's a shame. That's not good. Now, all of our children are different. If we don't keep this in mind, we are only creating unnecessary problems for us and them. Get it out of your mind that you train them all the same, because you don't. I said, get that out of your mind right now. Now, so we initiate or massage the gums of that baby, if you will, of those children, if you will, that we may cultivate a taste for something, all right? We initiate some things by observation and then later by communication. So we study that child. And as I study that child, now I know how to communicate to that child. Why? Because I spent time observing them, and when I talk to them, they don't think I'm off the wall. Now I'm right where they are. Why? Because I spent time observing some things about that child. And that's good. All right? And that's why we looked at that passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter number 20, verses 11 through 13. All right? Children, they're dropping hints all the time. Dad and Mom, they're crying out, I want you to get to know me. Hear my ways. And, you know, they're so black and white. And what you see is what you get. For the most part with children, what you see is what you get. And I think God allowed it to be that way so we can train them. And so for us to neglect that and turn our heads to that's not doing anyone any good as far as that is concerned. And so we initiate some things by observation and then later by communication that we may discover what's deep down on the inside of our child. All right. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, it won't be long before what's ever in the heart of that child is going to come out. It won't be long at all. And here's the thing, because they're pagans, they don't necessarily have, you know, they may not necessarily have that conviction that what they're doing is wrong. Everybody get it? Like, you know, that child is going to take that toy. He doesn't have a conviction that that's wrong. He's a pagan. Yeah. I'm not being mean, but that's just, but you already know. Okay, this child is self-will. And wait a minute. And some of them have that manifestation more than others. Or this child doesn't mind doing this. And they don't think their actions are wrong, but it gives you an opportunity. But they also got some good things about them. And it gives you an opportunity to say, you know what? There may be a potential gift or talent right here that I can develop, but here's something that I need to stipe. This is a weed right here. Everybody say that word? This is a weed, and he thinks or she thinks this weed is fine, but as a parent, as we observe and study the children, we can say, you know what? We've got to get this thing out of here. We got to get this weed out of here. Amen? We got to get that weed out of there. And so this is why we have to study the child. We have to do that, all right? So children are longing to be heard. They want people to know. They want their parents to know. This is who I am. This is what's on the inside of me. I made the statement, hey, parents, dads, moms, children don't want more stuff that you can give them. Because stuff is not a substitute for actually being their parent. I said video games and nice trips and whatever, iPads and U-pads and whatever pads, that stuff is not a substitute for being a parent. But we got more parents locked onto screens than children these days. I mean, you can go into a restaurant and everybody at the table got some kind of device. Some kind of device. You go on a trip, everybody got a device. And you know, here we are living under the same roof and nobody's communicating. One with another. Everybody got a device. got an eye, got ear things, and then they got the ear things, and now you're in your own world. You just go there to eat and sleep and have somebody pay your bills. And that's how it is. You can't learn anything. You can't learn anything about, I got it. You can't learn anything. You can't. Roman number two, point number two, a child. So we dealt with train up. A child. Here's the definition. A boy or a youth of various ages. A boy or a youth of various ages. Put this in parentheses. Not to exclude girls. A boy or a youth of various ages, not to exclude girls. Here's a list of scripture references as to where it uses child or children. But a handful of them are in the book of 1 Samuel. But in 1 Samuel 4:21, Samuel was a newborn. In 1 Samuel 1:22, Samuel was a child just before he was weaned. At 1 Samuel 1:27, he was still called a child just after being weaned. In 1 Samuel 3:1, he was a child even though he was old enough to minister unto the Lord before Eli. Exodus 2:6, Moses was a child. He was over 3 months old. Genesis 21:12, Ishmael was a child even though he was a teenager still. Genesis 37:2, Joseph was 17 years old but still a child. Genesis 34:19, Shechem, a young boy, a young man preparing for marriage, but he was still under the roof of his parents. He was still considered a child. So the Bible defines a child as someone of any age still living under the roof of their parents. That's what a child is, right? Now, so as long as there is a child under your roof, and as long as there is a child under my roof, you and I are responsible for initiating, creating a taste, developing a thirst, making the things of God palatable. Amen? Listen, our children don't need to hate God. Listen, I'm telling you, they are pagans to the core when they're born. They don't, listen, if they never got another dose of wickedness, if they never got another wrong thought of God from birth, they would do them just fine. Everybody get me? Now, the things of God need to be important to them. The things of God need to be meaningful to them. Listen, so fitting this into the makeup of the child from the time of infancy until the young person is of age of marriage. And so you and I, we never stop parenting. Now, what does it take? It takes time. It takes time. I've made this statement, and I've said it in so many ways, and specifically dealing with us men, we're not a man just because we pay bills. Amen? Just because you're at your home and you can pay bills, that doesn't make you a man. And we need to, and I know, I got a living to make as if, you know, God has blessed us with children. And then we think, well, raise a child or make a living. And that's not how God set one against the other. He didn't even set one against the other. Everybody understand that? But then the Bible say if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than him. Listen, there's more to taking care of a family than making sure the lights are on and making sure they have food. Everybody understand that? Listen. What did Jesus tell us? Life does not consist in the abundance of things that we have, right? That's what Jesus told us. So there's more to life than paying bills and making a living and different things like that. And sometimes making a living gets in the way of making a life. And there is a difference. And in the culture that we live in, we are so consumer-oriented that we think, man, if I can get this next thing, if I can get that. And people are being robbed of the most important things. And sometimes we're working extra hours or we're doing extra to get that child that new pair of shoes. And he don't need those new pair of shoes. You just trained him. We done trained our children that they need the new pair of shoes. We done trained them because we done exalted to them that that's what's important. You see how that works? We've trained them that the things that they actually ask for, we've cultivated those kind of taste buds. You see how that works? What do you mean? You mean to tell me? Listen, I'm telling you that there are children that they're not really concerned about the American dream because their parents instilled in them things that were really important.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
And if you're going to have a large family, one thing you can't be concerned about is the American dream. You better be concerned about making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And helping those children realize, you know, here's what's important right here. Not this and that and this and that and that and the other. All right. You have to help them understand that. You have to, listen, initiate those things in the children. You know, it's funny. We brag about everything. Promotions, positions, titles, where we live, what we drive, how well we've done in life. And listen, if God has given us children and our children live like pigs, we hadn't really done that well in life. You know what I mean by that? Now, I'm not saying, man, if your child don't live in a house on the hills, then you are not a good parent. We know that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think about the story about the man who had the award-winning pig at the state fair, and that pig was nice and clean and all perfumed up and everything, and the judges came by to look at this pig, and it was an award-winning pig, and the dad's the boy was there. The dad had a son, and the son was there, and he had on rags and didn't smell good, and it wasn't because he had handled pigs and he couldn't behave and so on and so forth, and you mean to tell me you've done a better job with this pig than your son? You see? And that's how we are sometimes if we're not careful. Yep. That's how we can be. Our children need us, amen. They need us. We fail, oftentimes we fail to get to know our children during the frenzy of making a living. And that's a dangerous thing. Now, the way he should go, here's the blank. This is in keeping or in accordance with the child's way. In keeping or in accordance with the child's way. It's a course of life or a mode of action. It's a course of life. That's what the word way means. It's a course of life or it's a mode of action. Now, I want to say this about the way, and I'm going to get you all an article that I think is a very interesting article. I don't have it in your books tonight, but I do have an article on this passage of Scripture that I think will be good for you. I'm not going to take time to preach through it, but I think it'll be good for you, and I'll try to get it to you at some time here. But I do want to say this. We ultimately know who the way is, right?
Amen.
We got that, right? But our passage of Scripture says, and the way he should go, and we understand that God has a way, right?
Yeah.
But please, let's not discount, and what I've been trying to say, let's not discount that all of our children have a way. And I'm not talking about their wickedness. Everybody get what I'm saying? I'm talking about they have a way that God designed them. All right. Let me go ahead and say this then. How many understand that every person has free will?
Yeah.
Amen? So let me try to maybe shed a little light on this passage. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, some people say this is a guaranteed promise from God, but there's only one problem with that. There's several problems, but here's the biggest problem. God is not going to force somebody to live right.
Right.
Do you see how the... All right, so whatever the passage means, let me say this. It can't mean that if you do everything that you're supposed to do as a parent, the child is going to turn out right. Because
right.
We've seen too many instances where it's not the case, where people do raise, where people do invest their godliness in their children, and the children don't turn out right. We've got examples of that in the Scripture, right? So we do understand about this passage. While I don't claim to know everything about it, we have to look at the fact that every person is a free agent, a free moral being. All right? And God will not receive glory from robots. Does this make sense to everybody? So listen, however you interpret the passage, here's what we cannot conclude. We cannot conclude that this is some promise from God that says every child is going to turn out right.
Right.
Everybody got it? And that's one of the reasons why I want to get that article to you. I believe the author makes some very good statements along those lines, but this is it. I mean, what happens, and here's what this helps us to deal with. You know, especially for those godly parents that have done everything they can to raise their children, and then now they're guilty because, man, what happened? The child didn't turn out right, and you don't have to feel guilty because that's not what the passage is saying. But the child does have a way, and as we study our children, and his way is going to be different from his way, but we still want to ultimately train them in the way. We all want them to be. We want them all to be saved, because salvation is the way. We understand that, but that doesn't mean that. I mean, you know, this person, his aptitudes and how they're made up, that's going to be different. And this is what we got to understand about our children. And now we're not disappointed. We're not frustrated. We're not beating ourselves down, because this is not a promise that says you raise them right and this is how it's going to happen. Doesn't work like that. Okay. Now, but it is in keeping with the child's individual gift or bent. Listen, they have characteristics and mannerisms that have been given to them by God. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, let me say this about our children, as I've tried to say about each other. You may have something that you don't like about somebody. It doesn't mean that they're in sin just because you don't like it. Okay, apply that same thinking to your child. We spend a lot of time frustrated at our children by mannerisms that are not ungodly. It's just that we don't like them. And we're too lazy to study our children, so we're mad at them. And we come up with these rules on the spot. Do this and don't do that! Because we're not studying them. You see how that works? All right? We're just big children. That's all that it proves. It proves that we haven't grown up. So, yeah. Now, where was I here? Okay. Now, love that classroom over there. This is just the bigger version of it. I'm telling you, it is. Listen, see, this only comes through spending time with and observing the child. Now, many of us, due to the lack of parenting that we received growing up, and I'm telling you, I thank God for the things that I got, but I probably did not get the best parenting growing up. But I got a few beatings in my life, and that kind of helped me out on some things there. All right, and I'm glad. I tell people I got whoopings when I was just, and I got whoopings when I was unjust. Okay, and I'm glad for the ones that I got. But I had a grandpa, and his nickname was Sundown, and that's what he got up to work before the sun came up, and he didn't stop working until after it went down. They called him Sundown. And he was a working man. So I've been working since I was 8 years old. I've worked most of my life. And I believe that was good. And, you know, my mom was not necessarily always there. I just met my dad at 21 years old. I see my grandpa whoop my mom and some of my uncles because he was a no-nonsense guy. What do you mean? I see my grandpa whoop my adult mom and my adult uncles. Yes, I seen him do it. Yes. And he knew how to get after you. If that light, if that corner light caught you at dark and that light went on, my grandpa could run. And he had a switch. And that switch got real long. He could hide it behind his back, but when he was chasing you, that switch got long. I don't know how my grandpa did that right there. Swagger, swagger, swagger. And he knew, but listen, I'm thankful for those kind of things. Now, he might call that child abuse today, but I'm just, hey, whatever. I'm just glad I got it, amen. I'm glad he cared enough, But I won't say that I grew up with all the ins and outs of parenting. I know that looking back on things now and just some of the things that my family was involved in and different things like that. But some of us, you know, we may have the tendency to say, you know what, I made it on my own. Shame on you. Shame on me. And you know, I'm a self-made man. Well, that's not really good. That's not good. I'm a self-made. Well, I'm sorry that you were not properly brought up. Amen? There's the command to train. Right? Now, because we are often self-made men and self-made women, we often make it difficult for the people around us, and we make it difficult for our children at times because we're self-made. He's been talking ever since he was born, I'm telling you. He really has been. We thank God for him. He's a blessing. He really is. Now, when we go around thinking that we're self-made, basically, we missed out on who we really are. We miss out. If we're self-made, chances are we didn't have someone pay enough attention to us to help us. Everybody understand how that works? A lot of angry men out there, a lot of angry ladies out there as well, just kind of missed out on some things. And you know, man, you feel sorry or your heart is broken because you know there's some potential there. There's potential you can see in people. You know, it's never been brought out because they had never had anybody pay attention to them. Never had anybody pay attention to them. Listen, as parents, we have to understand that, hey, we've got to pay attention to those little disciples that's in our home, amen. Those little pagans at first, but they're lawless and they need to be brought under the law. They certainly need that. And we need all the grace and help and power of God for that, right? Now, D, all children have their own unique way. They have a characteristic, a manner that distinguishes them from all other children, including their brothers and sisters, although they come from the same parents. Listen, you had better recognize that. Sad that people have that one best child and think, I want to have 10 more after that. And little Susie, she was a redhead, and she was more than a redhead. She was a hothead, too. And why wouldn't she like Tom? They came from the same parents. I don't know. We don't know what this guy's temperament is yet. We know he likes to eat. And but we're just observing him to see how he is. He'll be able to express that will here when things don't go his way, I'm sure, here in a little bit. But he's different. All of them are different. But all children have their own unique way. Our children are not a lump of clay to be molded in whatever way we see fit. Did you hear what I said? They're not a lump of clay like that. But they are distinct people with a destiny. We must honor God's creation of this one-of-a-kind individual. Do you understand that your child is God's unique, special creation? And for you and I to force some mold on them that's not God's mold, it's just going to cause undue craziness. Everybody understand that? I'm afraid that a lot of parents, a lot of children have followed in the steps of their parents, but it hasn't been good for that child. Because it's not necessarily how God designed them. It's just, well, this is what mom did. Dad was a rocket scientist, so I guess that's probably what we're going to be. You see, I went to school with children who their dads, their families would have paid for them to get an engineering degree or some kind of this and that. And the child said, Dad, I believe God wants me to go off to Bible college and do this. And the parents wouldn't have anything to do with them. Wouldn't have anything to do with them. And so we have to be careful as parents not to... I cringe. Some people joke, but some people are serious. But, oh man, he's going to be a little running back. Or you got yourself a basketball team. Nonsense. Joking. But listen to me. I've had ladies come up. You ought to get them to audition for they ought to be in like some kind of video or this or that or the other. All kind of crazy stuff. I'm thinking about any of that foolishness. But whatever case may be, I'm saying, nah. She ought to be singing. I don't think that. But people got these ideas, and sometimes a lot of times we as parents, we want to live our lives, our unsuccessful lives, sometimes out through our children. So I didn't do too good at football. I didn't get off to a good start. I probably played backyard football better than anything. I broke my leg trying to play football, but I wasn't that good. Now, Micah likes football, and it's not because Dad sits up and talks about it all the time. He likes it. I don't really know if he's all that athletic, but he's got some... He's got a little flair. I mean, I've seen him improve, and he's got to get tough. But I always thought James might be more athletic than Micah. But James is probably interested in it because Micah's interested in that kind of business. But I'm not
You're going to be a football player.
You're going to be this. And we often sit our kids down and, what do you believe Dad and Mom requires of you? And they tell us. And they know what we want from them. We just want you to love God and walk with God. It doesn't matter what vocation. Everybody understand that? We want you to love God, and we want to study you and see how God put you together so we can help you with that. But don't try to push your kid into this and push him into that, and they can't carry a tune, and you think they ought to sing whatever the case may be. All right? They couldn't catch a cold. Now, you want them to try to catch. They couldn't catch a cold. They can't catch anything. But they're tall, so they're going to be a wide receiver. Craziness, right? Crazy type stuff. They don't like math. You want them to be some astrophysicist. They don't even like math. Their mind doesn't even work like somebody else's mind would. And you're going to be an astrophysicist. Well, you were an astrophysicist. Don't try to make little Johnny an astrophysicist, all right? Or you were a doctor or a lawyer, whatever the case may be. We do the children an injustice when we put that kind of pressure on them. You know, I also notice young people, they go to college, they'll switch their major 2 years into the thing, and I'm going to switch my major. Why? I just don't really think this is what I want to do. And I'm not opposed to education, things like that, but you're going to spend... We have to help our children know. How did God design you? And then maybe try to pair them up with some education that helps bring out that design a little bit more. Not force them into something and, man, 2 years, $30,000, whatever, I don't know, depending on where they went to. And you mean to tell me you're switch hitting now? Or they get the degree and then they end up working at Burger King. And you got this degree. Well, I just, it wasn't my field. And so on and so forth. So we have to be careful about those things right there. Don't make them do something. Now, some things you ought to make them do. Just having a conversation with my son today. Yes, he's been asking. They've got a field trip coming up. He's not crazy about science. I said, I want to have him write me a paper. Why he didn't like science? Because I don't like the answer. I just don't like it. I don't like that answer. I don't like that. And what is that? So I sat him down. I said, son, I said, you think I like every? I said, do you think Dad likes everything about being a pastor? He says no. He says, you think I like everything about marriage? I'm just keeping it real. You got to get him. Got to get him thinking. You think I like everything about being a parent? He says no. I said, so what if I decide to just not do it just because I didn't like it? I said, that would hurt me and it would hurt the people that whose life that I touch. Isn't that right? So in a situation like that, I said, no, son. I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, you're going to pack your lunch for tomorrow. You're going to go ahead and go on that field trip. And I said, think about this. I said, science is it's really another way to see the power and the glory of God. And you have to help them look at it from positive. Because he didn't have, I just don't want to go. I don't like science. I said, son, I had the same attitude about math when I was growing up, and it's hurting me right now. Everybody with me? Some people still hate me. In the eternal torment of math class or something like that, you know what I'm saying? But listen, don't cater to your children just because they don't like something. And all of us need to learn how to do things that we don't like. And I go back to the military. The military imposed some things upon me that I didn't necessarily like, but I'm glad they made me do it. I said, I'm glad they made me do it. Now, we don't like this kind of stuff right here. And people have to make us do things because we're not strong enough to do it to ourselves. Because we're weak.
Yeah.
And that's basically where our children are. Mm-hmm. They're not strong enough to impose things that are profitable upon themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's why you're the parent.
Right.
Amen. If it were up to our children, it'd be they'd eat candy bar sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? They'd walk around with soda containers attached to their backs, and whenever they wanted some, they just press down on the, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of get a load. If it were up to our children, your children probably are the same way. See, he's in agreement with it. He's saying, yes, don't be calling us out like that. But that's exactly what's going on. Now, let's go on here. Look at, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 30, just to kind of more define this passage of Scripture here. Proverbs chapter number 30. And look at what it says here in verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not." And look at the word way. It's used four times in this passage of Scripture. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent up on a rock. Everybody see this? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a maid. Now you see the word way there? Now, you see all the comparisons? Now, the word way is the same for all of them, but we understand that a bird's way is different than the way of a serpent. And the way of a serpent is different than the ship out on the sea. And the ship out on the sea, the way is different than the man and his wife, maid. You get it? Their ways are not the same. You get it? And so when we train up a child in the way he should go, we have to keep in mind the way this child should go is not the same as... Everybody get it? It's not the same as this person's way or that person's way. But it requires, you know those children didn't come out with some book. Oh, here are the instructions. You know, you get that box of Legos and they give you the book on how to put this thing together. And you still have pieces left over. You know what I'm saying? And something not working right. But the children didn't come out like this. So how do you do it? You got to study them. It takes time to do that. You have to observe them. You have to actually, like, be their parent. Like, be their parent, yeah. That's what you have to do. So, way. Proverbs 22:6, we ought to initiate, create a taste, cultivate, create a thirst, and the life of our child. Listen, at any age. Hey, here's what some of us do. And here, listen, now, some of us have teenagers, some of us have folks that's getting ready to be teenagers, some of us have young people, and, you know, they're so cute, they don't really do a whole lot right, but they're cute, you know what I'm going to call them out, and it's the cuteness that kind of gets us, oh, look at those eyes, and how could you not love that person right there, and so on and so forth. Now, listen, I've been watching too much TV, I hear people say this about their children on TV, and so on and so forth, but... No, I think I'm just as worse as my wife is. No, I really love our children. No, I really do. And I love watching all of y'all's children. All of them. They are hilarious. I don't know what point I was going to make. I got to get back to my notes. But oh, that's the whole point that I was going to make. So as long as they are under your roof, here's the point I was making. Sometimes... because the parent has allowed the child to grow up and go after his or her own lusts, obviously that child's not prepared for anything, and the parent knows it. And now it's like a hostage situation where if I try to kick this child out, or if I try to get this child to do something that I hadn't trained them for, that child gonna go out and hurt themselves. I'm talking about the big children, too. Everybody with me? And the point I'm making is this. As long as that child is under the house, under that roof, we ought to still be initiating and cultivating things in them. All right? Oftentimes what happens is we let them get so far up the road and having their own way, now we can't say anything to them. You see what I'm saying? Now, you too big to be told what to do, you probably have to go establish your own home. That's harsh. That's harsh. We better wake up and do our job right now. Better wake up and do our job. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to we're going to stop. And when next time we pick up, I'll start at D. We already covered D. We'll start it up again. We'll deal with wake, because some of you still ain't get it. Wake, you can tell the people that went to sleep to wake up now. Okay, go ahead and tell them to wake up. All right, listen to me. Go ahead and read through the rest of this. It's, I guess, about a page altogether. But in your notebooks, and let me go ahead and encourage you in this right here. How many of you got children in your house? They know how to read and write. You ought to have some children in your house know how to read and write. Some of you not there yet. We're working on it. Now let me give you a recommendation. You don't have to take this. Hey, listen to me. On the sheet that you just got that we just went over, I know we did not finish it, but there is some homework assignment / suggestions there that will help you with this subject, getting in touch with your child and getting in touch with yourself. I would recommend that you go and do that and have some conversations or commune with yourself about those things. It's going to be nothing but helpful. But let me recommend two more things to you. You got that scripture appendix last week on the trial chain and scripture appendix. Now listen, if you've got children that can read and write in your home, I'm going to give you two things here. If you've got children that can read and write in your home, this is what we just started. We've probably always done something like this, but maybe not as strategic as I think this is. We had a book that we had. We don't know what happened. It was a real good book. If I find that book, I'm going to order a copy for each family in here. What was the name? We got to find the name of that book, and I think it'd be such a good book for each family to have a copy of that book. But it was a good book. But anyway, take that pack, and this is what we've done. Like James, Abigail, and Micah, they all read and write. All right? So we gave them folders. We gave them vanilla, however you want to say it, those folders. And we gave them their own copy of the appendix. Right? To keep on their desk that I just built with their Bibles. And every morning they get up, they have to write out the scripture that we're studying for the week. Okay? What about Noah? Noah comes and sit at the front with Dad. And Dad takes time to memorize the verse with Noah. And then we explain the verse of scripture. Now, what does that work? And we write it down. So we tell them to memorize it and we tell them to write it. And parents, I recommend you do it. So now, when an offense has taken place, for example, I think maybe one of the first passages you ought to deal with the children is just on obedience. So when you see disobedience in there, Colossians 3:20 is the first verse. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we just learned that one last week. Okay? So when an offense takes place, you know the verse, they know the verse. There's no arguing about the verse. Everybody get it? Now, everybody understand? Now you're on the same page. You've taken time to expound with the words. Hey, Daddy, what's this word? You've taken time to expound. Or Mom, what's this word? What does it mean? You get it? And now, so why am I spanking you, Noah? Because I didn't come when you called me. And now they can't be mad at you. And they're not mad at God. They know they've broken God's law.
Amen.
Right? Children, obey your parents in all things. All right. So you teach them. You teach them what you expect. All right? Like Friday, we had... children, you love them. Hey, but listen, be patient with them because they just don't... Common sense really ain't common. You'll learn that when you're raising children. Don't get frustrated because common sense ain't common. Your English is terrible, but you'll get it, right? So they got, all of them have cubbies in their desk for storage and things like that. But they're not neat. They just got the stuff in there. So I called them all in the boys' room. I said, I'm going to show you how to organize one of these cubbies. And I want you to reproduce it in the rest of the 10 cubbies between both of y'all's rooms. And you know, I showed them that one time. And they were able to go through and just organize, just based off of some principles of organization. And so now their rooms look 10 times better when you go in there. But now when those rooms are out of order, they know what the expectation is because now they've been trained.
Right.
But understand that?
Yeah.
And so we had an event, a situation. I said, listen, your shoes need to go in your closet when you take them off. You don't need to leave them at the door like Dad and Mom do. You don't need to do that. They leave them where you can like trip over. I think the kid's trying to booby trap us or something, whatever the case may be. But anyway, and so you warn them and you teach them. All right? But eventually you have to lay the rod. You know what I'm saying? We'll get to the rod in a little. I know some of y'all are chomping at the bits. All right? Listen to me. But we don't have any right to administer the rod if we haven't trained them. And the rod is not the only administration of correction. The rod and reproof. We'll get into that right there. Everybody understand that? But the point I was making is this. Get on the same page with your kids. Teach them the scriptures. And then let me just say this to all of us. Let every man, that was the next one we learned. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to write. Listen, some of our kids, they may show a little flare of anger when they don't get their way, as your kids do. Now, Noah, he can't read or write, but he understands what anger is. You know why? Because we've taken him, we've explained it to him. Out of James 1:19 and 20. You get it? So, what is that? That verse helps deal with when your children want to bargain with you and back talk. You need to be swift to hear. Listen fastly to what your parents are saying. Don't open your mouth and think you already know the answer. And don't open your mouth in anger. It's in your appendix there. Here's the point. For the kids that can read and write, give them their own folder. Give them assignments. You take time to expound the scriptures to them. All right? The ones that can't read and write, you bring them to you. You explain it to them. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to form Christ in them. That's the goal. Right? Listen, I think this would be good if you did that. It would help you to be a lot calmer in dealing with your children. And the whole point about being swift to hear, slow to speak, you may hear something going on in the other room. Don't jump on it immediately. Make sure your response is going to be right. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Everybody understand what's going on? And listen, husband, wife, if you don't have your folder at hand, get you a manila folder and have you a copy of it. I keep one up front. Like, if I'm studying, I hear them do something, I got my copy, I got questions that I can think about asking them, some of those convicting questions. You see how that works? I'm just offering some suggestions that I think will be very, very good because we want to form Christ in them. We don't want, get out of there! Let every man be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. We all need it. Can we get humble enough and say we all need it? Everybody understand what's going on here? And you train them that way, I guarantee you this, you're not going to spend much time mad at them as you used to be. If they know the scriptures, and you know the scriptures, and when you have to administer the rod, you're not administering it in anger, and they understand that the reason why I'm receiving the rod is because I broke God's laws. You don't want them living under your laws, because one day they won't live under your laws, and if they never learn to live under God's laws, well, they're not going to acknowledge God. Yeah. Don't you understand that? And when we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the who? Lord. Not in the nurture and admonition of us. We don't chastise them for our profit.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a whole nother message, but just take that and do that. And the last thing is that I gave you an 8-page article. I know some of you are hurting right now. I said 8 pages. I went and number each paragraph. There's like 55 paragraphs on self-control and selfish self-control. There's a big difference. But listen, read it with this spirit. Read it with this spirit. Show me my lack of self-control, God. The reason why we can't make disciples is because we're not disciples. And we can't give what we don't have. Let's be real parents. Let's be holy men and women of God and help our children. Because they need us to follow Christ. We're asking them to follow us. My son, give me thine eyes. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Is that not? We ought to all be asking our children that. Give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. What you going to show them? Christ-likeness? I'm going to begin reading through that article. I am going to give homework assignments based off of that article. I'm not going to take time to try to preach through that article. There's a lot, but you've got to put in some work too. We all got to put in some work. Amen? Father, thank you for your goodness. Help us, God, to understand our children. Help us to understand ourselves in the process. Thank you for being so good to us. And you bless the remainder of this evening. You just be glorified. And God, I pray that this was be to edification. And I pray that we would be serious, Lord, about parenting our children biblically. And God, in the process, we allow you to parent us. And we need it. And let us have humble hearts and trust you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.